Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's not just Friday, it's follow-up Friday. On Fridays, we like to spend part of the show digging deeper on some things that came up briefly during the week. And let's do that now with a call-in based on a short moment from the Clarence Thomas interview on 60 Minutes. The call-in question for you will be, how do your group identities, or identity, whatever it is, mix with your identity as simply an individual? How does your group identity, or how do your group identities mix with your identity as simply an individual? 212-433-WNYC. You can call us now, 212-433-9692. We played this clip on Monday to see what it said about Clarence Thomas. Now we're going to play it again and open up the phones to see what it says about us all. Listen to the question from Steve Croft and Thomas's answer.
How much of your life is determined by your race?
I don't know. I'm black. You know, how much of your life is determined by being male? I have no idea. I'm black. That's a fact of life. I'm 5'8.5" tall. I don't know how much of my life is determined by being 5'8.5" tall. It's just a part of who I am.
But you think of yourself as a black man.
I'm a man. I'm a man. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, I'm a citizen of this country, and I happen to be black. I am a human being.
So Clarence Thomas on 60 Minutes this week, and we're opening up the phones now to get your own thoughts about how your group identity mixes with your identity as simply a man, as he said, I don't think he meant gender, a person to determine who you are. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. How would you answer Steve Croft's question for yourself? And this can be about your race, your sex or gender, your religion, your sexual orientation, your age, your nationality, your native or immigrant status, your ability or disability, your income bracket, anything that defines you as part of a group. How does your group identity mix with your identity as simply an individual to determine who you are? 212-433-9692. Do you wrap yourself in your group? Do you rebel against your group? Does your group have expectations of you to conform in ways that make you rebel? Does your group give you a sense of safety or community that you can't get in other places? Are you a member of different groups that define you in different ways? Do they mix easily with each other? In that clip, Thomas said, I'm a man. I think he meant a human being, as I said, as opposed to a male, but I'm not sure. When Shirley Chisholm ran for president, she said she faced more discrimination as a woman than an African American, but she was carrying the flag for those two groups at the same time. Do your multiple group identities complement each other, conflicted with each other? What? And if you're part of a comfortable majority group, do you even see that you're part of a group? If you're white in America, or white in Kansas, maybe not New York, do you even see yourself as white? Or is it just too easy not to think about it and what that means in the United States? If you're a male on a CEO golf trip, does it even occur to you that you are a male CEO in a way that a woman in your group would have to be very aware that she's a woman CEO? 212-433-WNYC. You heard Clarence Thomas's answer. How would you answer that question for yourself? How does your group identity, whatever it is or whatever they are, mix with your identity as simply an individual? 212-433-WNYC. You can call us right now. Jamie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, love the program, and I'm glad you're doing the subject. I grew up here in New York, half black, half white, in the 1960s. I'm a woman. I'm a mother. I'm 5'6". I'm many things, but nothing in America defines me as much as race. Huh. And for me, it has always been black, because that's how Americans see me. I never even had a choice about it. I was called all kinds of names based on being black, and I think anyone, including Justice Thomas, who does not acknowledge the fundamental racist core of this country is missing their identity.
And so part of what you're saying is your identification is determined to a large degree
yes.
by other people's behavior toward you.
Unfortunately, I am what I think you think I am in this country, and I think in many places. And for America, race is a defining factor. Maybe it would be different if I lived in another country. But here, unfortunately, I am defined by others in that way. I have a self-identity that's somewhat different, but I think if you ignore the way in which you're viewed as a black person, you're going to miss a lot of racism that's leveled at you. Clarence Thomas has been very lucky, but most black folks aren't so lucky.
Jamie, thank you very much. Tom in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment that it happens to me all of the time. I'm a white male in my 30s and in the majority, and I think that things are expected to come kind of easily to me for all of the reasons, male, white, and I find myself struggling against what those expectations are and how we are viewed as a group, and that I constantly fulfill those expectations.
You fulfill the stereotype of you as a white man?
I'm very logical. I like gadgets. I can't cook. You'll see something on the web about a fight that men and women are having, and it will like define fights that my wife and I are having. Or, you know, it's frustrating to me because I would so much like not be a reflection of the group.
You would like to think, because you don't like the idea that you're a white guy and determined by that, but then you see how your behavior is consistent with that.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Thank you very much, and I appreciate it. Kafta in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Hi.
Hi.
I am 25 years old, and I consider myself to be a woman before a Latin woman. I'm actually an immigrant from Costa Rica, and I never thought of myself as being different until I came to the United States and was referred to as... I guess my group is that I'm Latin and also minority group, being that I'm not white. So I guess, but the funny thing is that I'm Americanized, so in a way, I don't always consider myself to be within the Latin community as far as, like, I don't dance like Latin people. I don't know how to cook like a Latin person. So it's always been, like, in the middle for me. But I will always say that I am referred to as a woman. I always right. feel like I'm... just a woman before anything.
So is it that you don't have as much contact with Latin culture as some other Latinas, or is it that stuff keeps coming up in your life that keeps reminding you that you're a woman?
Yes. It's a fact. There's no changing that. And for me, I'm always reminded I'm a woman based on the fact that when you go to school, you learn that somehow males get more attention. They seem to be a lot smarter, or they're treated to be like the ones that will go up to be the CEOs or the leaders. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's, again, how other people treat you. Kafta, thank you very much. Saofang in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Saofang.
Hi. I am a 43 years old Chinese immigrant, and I'm married to a black man and raising two biracial children. And I actually don't think about myself being a Chinese as I grew up in Hong Kong. But it became more and more apparent after I moved here that I consider myself as a Chinese American or Asian American. It is difficult to separate my identity, being a woman or being Chinese or being immigrant, because all the reaction that I got from people and the reaction I sort of as react to other people are all sort of like blending together. And I think that the ideal is that we can separate all this and become a person. But I am not sure with my 40 years of life that anyone can actually do that.
Yeah, that other people can actually do that when looking at you.
Well, if they can do it, then teach me how to do that. I would like to be a person.
Well, that's a good one for our comments page. So, listeners, if you want to follow up, if you can teach Saofang or anyone else how to actually detach from group perception that much, post at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And then how much changed for you when you became a voluntary member of the black community by having a half-black child?
Well, it is actually a learning process. I think that for me, it is a very complicated, painful, and also joyful process because both community, from my immediate family, are actually learning to accept each other in a very unexpected way. And for example, my father really become really appreciative for black people when he went to a family reunion for my husband's family. The 100 people were there, because for us, it would take a long time to organize that. And that he realized that there is some connection there. And I think that the education aspect, the concern about family, the, also the openness to other people, even we don't necessarily speak English, quote-unquote. And I think that that is something that my husband's family actually really appreciate. And, of course, I'm raising two biracial kids who don't look like me. My daughter is 12 years old. People still ask me where did I adopt her.
So, Fung, I'm going to leave it there and get some other people in before we finish up, but thank you very much for an interesting call. By the way, speaking of follow-ups, and we mentioned the Topps meat recall just a few minutes ago, Topps has just announced that it is closing its business 6 days after it was forced to issue the second largest beef recall in U.S. history. This just in from the Associated Press. This recall has been going on since September 25th for frozen hamburger patties. Again, our correction from before, not ground meat, but only the frozen hamburger patties. And Topps conceded that much of the recalled meat had already been eaten. And they say it raised questions about whether the USDA should have acted quicker to encourage a recall. But there it is again. This just in, Topps Meat Company says it is closing its business. But now we're talking about how your group identities and how your identity as an individual interact within you. And Patrick and Madison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how's it going? I have two things to add. One is kind of my own experience, and the other is I'm an international relations major, and I've had to take a lot of sociology as a result of it. In terms of how a person defines themselves by their group identities, it seems to, first of all, have to do with, like, if you're part of a minority group, one of the characteristics of a minority group, according to the classes I've taken, is an awareness of being a minority group. And if you're in the majority, you really don't have that as much. So as a white male, I'm not really conscious of being male or white actively throughout my day. It doesn't
right.
seem
like, right. As I was mentioning before, it's in a way, it's a white male privilege not to have to think about it, right?
Well, yeah, in America it would be. If you're a Chinese male in China, that would be
of course
a privilege there.
Correct.
The other thing I have to add, and this is just my own experience, it seems to me that the more intelligent a person is, the more able they are to transcend, those adjectives that they were born with.
Although you just heard from a lot of callers who said, no matter how much they feel like an individual inside,
right.
they keep getting perceived and pushed back into that box by everybody else.
I guess I can't account for what they
So it's
feel
not just
like.
A matter of someone's intelligence.
Yeah, I guess I suppose. Well, I can't account for what people are feeling, but I've noticed when I've spent time in Asia, I've spent time in other countries. Mm-hmm. That I'm able to, it seems like the more intelligent a person is, the more they're able to bridge the gap.
Patrick, thank you very much. Sophia in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi there. I'm a Greek woman, or actually American, Greek-American, and I find that I'm not Greek enough. So I rebel against my culture. I don't speak the language. I'm born and raised here, and I have one Greek friend. And I don't walk around, for the most part, thinking of myself as Greek or white or even female. I just think of myself as me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really not sure how much my identity belonging to any of these groups really informs my behavior.
So it's all kind of secondary back there below the surface for you, and you are who you are, and that's all who you are.
Yeah, I guess so. I am what I am, and that's all I am. Me and Popeye.
You and Popeye. Okay, Sophia. Thank you very much. And Sophie is going to get the last word. So we thank you all for calling in on how group identities and individual identities mingle for you. Now, one more thing for Follow-Up Friday. We had a call in yesterday on how to spruce up the Manhattan Marriage Bureau. Remember, Mayor Bloomberg wants New York to compete with Las Vegas as the hip place to get hitched in the United States. Well, After the show, we got this post on our comments page from someone who did get married at the Manhattan Municipal Building, dowdy as it is, and here's what they wrote. It was the greatest event ever. 55 seconds total. And the judge just finished it by yelling, "Next!" Loved it. Don't change the DMV of love at all. And that is our comment of the week from our comments page at WNYC.org. And that is our show for this week. Nuala McGovern is the executive producer of The Brian Lehrer Show, with producers Jim Colgan, Priya George, Lisa Allison, and we had Jay Cowett today at the audio controls. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you on Monday. On Monday, our guests will include the authors of a book on how the Forbes 400, the richest 400 people in the world, make and spend their money.